What's happening, folks? Welcome to the show. We are your hosts, Chase and Miles, and we are at the Lucky Duck. Welcome. Boom. We did it. We're back. We're bigger than ever. We've Miles just gave me the I don't know. Well, I don't know about that.
Is it true?
It could be. It could be. By mass, yes, I may have gained a few pounds.
I think I lost a few pounds, so my equal out.
God damn it.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, we're back. We're lighter than ever, and here we are.
We're the same as ever. That's what we're going to say. We're going to say
we're the same
as ever.
Samesies.
But we have better content for you.
Yeah.
Every time we put on a podcast, it is better.
Better.
Please comment if you don't agree with that and comment why. I don't want to just hear, oh, your podcast is bullshit. You guys just talk about random stuff all day. I don't give a shit. Why did I even listen to this? I don't want to see those comments anymore.
Yeah. Lock them up. Lock them up. Go to Walmart, buy a safe, and lock your shit up. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yep. Go to Walmart. That's our sponsor for today.
Sponsor today is LockSafe, provided by Walmart.
We don't.
Dippity-dabbity.
We don't do that.
We
Cheers.
Don't. Cheers. What are we drinking today?
We are drinking a whiskey margarita.
Sippy sippy.
Ooh, I like this rim.
Yeah, right?
You did a good rim job.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments on my rims.
What is it?
It is a, actually, I can tell you, it is a new chili lime beer salt.
Whoa. Man, that's pretty good. It tastes like urinal cakes a little bit, but.
Everything to you tastes like urinal cakes.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what's going on, who hurt you, but.
I'm eating too many urinal cakes these days.
It is, Grill Your Ass Off has a great chili lime beer salt. It's veteran owned, Texas made, benefits veterans and first responders. The perfect spicy rim job is the tagline here.
Damn, they stole mine.
Yeah. Janie got this for me in Austin, Texas. And first try success. Very good stuff. Cheers to Grill Your Ass Off.
Grill Your Ass Off.
Boom.
I would like it to be a little spicier.
Mm.
I wouldn't say it's spicy. It's like tahini level spicy.
Yeah. It's a comfort level that everybody of all ages can enjoy.
Except me. I don't enjoy it if it's not spicy.
I don't enjoy it. So what do you think about the whiskey replacing the tequila? I mean, we've gone a little off the rails here. I'm just got to say. And we didn't even do a bourbon. We did an Irish whiskey. We're going back to our roots, to the Jameson.
It's a little good.
It's a little good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean,
a little good.
I think that tequila is good, but whiskey can be better sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like no one's ever been like, hey, this is a bad whiskey. No one's ever said that.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody has once or twice said this is not a good whiskey, but yeah, I've never said it. So yeah. Does it really count if the bear shits in the woods?
Is that
and no
because
around?
You only drink good whiskey?
No. I am a degenerate and I will drink just about any whiskey. What's also special about this drink that I want to highlight is the fact that we use key limes instead of regular limes for the lime component of our margarita. Look at these little tiny babies. And so I think that also adds to the flavor profile. I can't speak today, and this is a podcast, so I need to be able to – I need to lock in right now. This is what I need
Brown
to do.
Brown cow now how?
I need to lock in. I need to lock my shit in. Where do you get these? That's a good question. Well, the grocery store. They're pretty good. They're not too sour.
Is key lime named after the Florida Keys?
I want to say yes, but also I don't know. So we should look that shit up.
They're really sour.
I just said they're not as sour, but okay, whatever. Do you think they're really that sour?
Well, let's take another lick.
How many licks does it take?
I don't know Like, limes are really sour, right?
Yeah. Yeah, normally.
So I don't know if it's more or less sour.
Yeah.
It's just sour. And it's, I forgot, sour. Limes are sour.
Yeah.
Why is this one red?
That one, turn it around.
Oh, dude, shit.
It's got the seasoning on it.
I'm gonna lick that later. Dude. I should lick that side.
Oh, shit. For those of you listening, we sliced the key limes, and I dipped one of them in the beer salt. So you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Spicy key lime. So give me the down low on key limes. Why are they called key limes? Where are they produced? Are they produced seasonally? Can you get them all year long? And of course, everybody knows the famous key lime pie. So we're gonna get into it.
Right. So the key lime is also known as the acid lime. I don't know why, but that sounds horrible.
Maybe it's more acidic.
And it comes from Southeast Asia. So I think it has nothing to do with the Florida Keys.
Okay.
Except we're going to come to this a little bit later. The key lime is usually picked while it's green, but it becomes yellow. It becomes yellow when ripe.
Oh.
Which is interesting because we are eating
green.
So it could be that there's different types of key limes.
Yeah.
Key limes as well.
And they've also, like, genetically modified a lot of our fruits and produce in general. So it could be that, you know, they sell better when they're green versus yellow, because maybe people just don't like yellow limes, or
exactly,
they're confusing them with lemons.
Yeah, people. The key lime has a thinner rind, and it's smaller, seedier, more acidic, which is probably where the acid lime comes from, but it's more aromatic than the Persian lime, which I guess is
the regular lime.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's quite literally like three times the size of these.
It's like crazy. I feel like the lime is actually called the Persian lime.
Wow. Did not know that. And I got to say, when I was slicing these up and juicing them, I did notice like a really nice fragrant smell. And also I noticed that the juice had a bit more of a color to it. It was almost like as if this is the real lime, and the limes we've all known and bought at the store are like the shitty limes.
Right.
Like this is like the creme de la creme. I could be getting that wrong, but.
Well, maybe. I think maybe it's probably if you're looking for a different flavor, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But the name actually comes from its association with the Florida Keys.
Oh, damn.
Where it is best known as the flavoring ingredient in key lime pie.
Damn.
Whoa. That's crazy that this lime, this little fruit, comes from Southeast Asia, but all across the U.S. we call it the key lime pie.
Yeah. And I guess, like, from a practical standpoint, it makes sense to probably source the bigger Persian. Is it Persian? Peruvian? What was it?
Persian.
Persian. The Persian lime, because they're bigger, they contain more juice content per volume, right? And so if you're looking to get the bang for your buck, you probably want to. And also, like, cutting and, like, juicing produce is, like, labor-intensive. Like, one of the things, you know, when you run like a restaurant, for instance, like cutting and slicing tomatoes and all that, it takes so much time. It takes a lot of prep. So like for the lime, you know, users, the end user, maybe it's just easier to like cut just one lime instead of like three small limes, you know, the key lime.
Yeah.
Cause these things are tiny. I mean, we're talking slightly bigger than a quarter here. I mean, we're talking like 1.5 quarters, the monetary coin. They're tiny, and they're kind of cute, I guess, so they make for a good garnish. I also wanted to like dry these out to have like sun-dried key lime garnishes. I think that would go really nice with like a fresh margarita, right? I like to make my margaritas a very simple way. It's just equal parts the main liquor. In this case, it's a whiskey, but normally you have the tequila, then lime, then triple sec or Contro if you want to coin. And then that's it. If you want to get a little, I don't know, extra special, you throw in a little agave syrup. I did in this case. This does have agave syrup, so it does have a little bit of a sweeter taste. But I was inspired to make this drink today because I had a whiskey margarita at the Alamo Draft House. Shout out to those guys. It was a little bit more of a whiskey sour recipe, but it was under the margarita section, so I was intrigued. And so I'm like, hey, never thought I could do that. Let's get a little crazy. Let's break some rules here. Could you call this a margarita? You absolutely can, because you're in control. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I do whatever I want.
If this was a whiskey sour, though, you'd want lemon. That's, I think, the key difference here. You have your orange liqueur. You can do your lemon. You can do, like, a fruit juice with the whiskey. Shake that shit up. Do a sour. Maybe you can get a little crazy with, like, the egg white. Make it a little foamy. Mm. Give that little foam top. We've made that on the podcast before, you know, a few times.
This is kind of sour, right?
It is. Well, I think we got, you know, that we got that lime acidity there. And you said it's like it's got the sourness. So here we are.
I like it. So what I found out is that the Persian lime is actually a cross between the key lime and a lemon.
Oh,
what the hell? My mind is blown. I feel like we're not going to, guys. Don't worry. We need to study the origin of limes. Mm. You know what I mean? What came first, the lemon or the lime?
I love limes. They just make every dish so special.
True.
You know?
Like, think about every Mexican dish.
Oh, yeah.
You can put a lime on all of it.
All of it. If my tacos comes out with, like, a couple of slices of the quarter round of the lime, perfect. You know it's going to be good.
If it doesn't, then you don't come back.
I say, excuse me, I think you forgot something. And they go, I don't track. And they're like, yeah, I think you do.
Yeah. And then they bring a lime out.
Yeah,
and
the whole lime.
And you're like, still missing. And then they bring a Corona out.
I feel like when you ask for like a lime and they bring you the little dish with like several, you're like, my guy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, who's going to do one?
Yeah, they bring you one. Size? You're like, really?
Yeah.
One?
You're like, did you just fish with your hand out of the bucket of lime slices?
I need to like channel my inner Ron Swanson and be like, no, I think you misunderstood me. Bring all of the limes that you have.
Yeah, exactly.
No. But I don't know. We're not here to talk about limes. We're not here to talk about margaritas with whiskey in it. I think you all know what we're here to talk about.
Yes.
And it's those goddamn tariffs.
Fucking tariffs.
Yep. You know how much these limes cost me? Coming all the way from Persia?
You know what's crazy? What's crazy is last week, like 2 weeks ago, I was in Europe with my colleagues. Some of us did some activities where one person paid for it, you know, and then you PayPal or Venmo someone. Well, they don't have Venmo, so I had to PayPal them, right? But I'm PayPaling from US dollars to euros. Mm. So they're like, hey, it's $17.50. Well, 2 weeks ago, $17.50 was like $19. Today, it's like $20.50. Pissing me off.
You know, it would have been hilarious if they were like, yeah, hey, or like if you bought something for them and they had to Venmo you and you like added the tariff on top of it. Yeah, so it was 15 really when I bought it, but since like you're Venmoing me and I'm an American, it's now $20. So I don't make the rules. Trump does.
Gotta add that 25% tariff.
Yep.
Yeah. Pissing me off. I was in Europe when that was really starting.
Yeah.
When they started announcing all these tariffs.
And then the retaliatory tariffs.
Yeah. And so like, I'm not really paying attention to U.S. news, stock market, anything. I'm not really on social media this whole week. Mm-hmm. Well, week and a half I was there. And so I would kind of see a couple things like, you know, whatever, tariffs. And while I'm there, I'm also seeing, like, our president, Russia's president, China's president. Like they're all the same to those people now.
Now, yeah, yeah, because it's the superpowers.
Yeah.
They're just going at it, you know?
Yeah. So that was a weird experience being over there, but I'm home now and now I get to deal with the realities, which is basically nothing. because Yeah.
Trump has, as of today, officially paused, put a 90-day pause on all of the tariffs issued to countries that are not retaliating. So it's countries that have basically just taken it on the chin and said, all right, well, 20% new tariff on whatever. But for China and all the other, Mexico and Canada, it seems, those tariffs continue on, as the global trade war, under the United States banner continues on.
So they were not retaliating, which means they were just accepting the tariffs. And then he was like, just kidding, because you didn't retaliate, I'm going to take them back. Why didn't he just leave them? If they weren't retaliating, he could have just left them.
Which is like leading me to believe now that all of this was just one big insider trading market scam. Because like, wouldn't it be convenient if like you announce all these tariffs, you just completely tank the stock market? Surprise, surprise. If you didn't expect that, you're just out of your fucking mind. And then you go, oh, just kidding. And then it bounces back like it did today. I mean, the Dow was up 14% today.
Yeah, but I feel like that would be a really reckless way of doing that. So like you could tank the stock market by doing something that's more isolated to the US.
Yeah.
But by doing this, you're now like fucking up global trade and relationships around the world. So to have just done that for like getting some money,
or he calls Canada, China, and he's like, hey, listen, all right,
yeah,
over the next month things are gonna get a little weird, I promise nothing's gonna happen, but I want you to play hardball. Nah, I'm just kidding. Maybe not, who knows, but we'll see.
What I would like, whatever the end result is, I don't know, like I think finance is interesting, but I don't know that much about it, but what I would like is that we don't have such drastic changes, because it's impacting a lot of people in different ways. And some people are more isolated than others. Like if you have a job working for a company that doesn't trade physical goods, you're probably going to be less affected. Probably. Like you might not notice anything. You're not going to, like, the grocery prices don't just change from yesterday to today unless they're eggs or milk.
Right.
But for the most part, like all those things, like they take a little bit of time. So like your car, like if those tariffs go and it might be $10,000 more next year, but it's not going to probably tomorrow. But what companies are going to do is like, stop things. Like Sarah, who works with brands, already started getting brands saying, hey, we're pausing everything. Like we're not working with people anymore.
Because of the uncertainty.
Because
of the market.
Of the uncertainty and how they're going to deal with tariffs. How much is going, like, think about if you work with a clothing brand who's now going to be paying 25% more on their product when they might only, like, imagine if your margins are like 25%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now
and
you
almost all of those people, they make their stuff in China. They make their stuff in Indonesia, Vietnam, right? All these Indochina countries make a fuck ton of our apparel.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can't just increase your prices 25% because people will start buying them other places. So you have to have this balance of like, how much can you lose and slowly increase the price over time where you're not going out of business. In the meantime, you can pay your, you know, whatever. So I think there's like, it's affecting people in a lot of ways. I think it's affecting farmers, anyone who deals with trade, people who deal with, like, how the fuck do you collect like more tariffs like that? Right.
Yeah.
So like,
well, you charge the end consumer more.
No, but I mean like the company has to actually collect tariffs. Like they have to, like when things are imported, exported, whatever, that money has to be like collected.
Yeah.
Somebody has to collect it and then pay it to the government.
Yes.
And so if one day they're like, hey, it's 25% today. Oh, wait, just kidding. We're pausing. What is it? Now it's back to whatever percent tomorrow, right? Yeah. So now you're dealing, like, that's a fucking accounting nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's lots of weird stuff like that where it's just, and it creates uncertainty, especially with like the stock market, which people, like, you see, because a lot of people have their pensions, retirement funds, like all that stuff in the stock market, and people who have most of their portfolio in stocks are not going to be as worried because they're younger people. But and like, that's what people,
it's like a set it and forget it, right? You're not worried because you're going to touch that in 40 years.
Yeah. But a lot of people have non-retirement money also in the stock market. And a lot of people who are retiring soon who just didn't make the right decisions in their investing because they weren't educated also have a lot of money in the stock market. And so, like, there's a lot of people psychologically that's impacting too.
Totally. And it's so uncertain sort of what game and outcome this administration is playing and headed to, because it just seems, you know, just over the last 3 months, there's been a lot of back and forth. There's been a lot of like, hey, we're doing this, just kidding, or hey, we're doing this, we're pausing it. I'm even thinking over to like the TikTok thing. Like, have you seen, I think it's coming up in a couple of days, actually, the deadline for TikTok to officially announce who they're selling to, if they're going to sell. I mean, they've said we're not selling.
Right.
But we have companies like OnlyFans who have bid. Amazon has officially thrown their bid into the game here. There's a lot of other big companies who are trying to basically bid to buy this, you know, arguably one of the most impactful giant social media platforms of all time. Which, like, again, we're going back to the whole, like, are they going to sell? Are they not? Yeah. At what point does this thing eventually just get, you know, canceled, where Trump goes, you know what, I'm going to delay it another 90 days. And then,
so that's what he did.
Yeah.
So it was April 5th and he delayed it another 75 days.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
So, oh, I didn't know that.
June 19th. Yeah. He did that. June 19th.
So can we just put bets down right now? Like how many times they're going to kick this down?
Yeah, we're taking bets, guys. Send us your money. We promise we'll pay it out.
He's like, this ByteDance thing is getting really, really complicated. And honestly, in the way of me doing the tariff thing. Like,
yeah, so, well, exactly. Mm-hmm. So USA Today says that Trump announced on social media Friday, this was this past Friday afternoon, that he was signing a second executive order to extend the deadline another 75 days following reports of a deal with China falling through due to Trump's tariffs.
Which is like a convenient way to say, like, we're still not selling.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's like, because without the tariffs, they probably would have been like, we're still not selling.
Right. And then it's convenient for him to be like, well, we're focused on the tariffs, so yeah, we're going to punt this down the road again. So we'll just let China continue stealing our data.
It's hard to believe. It's like, it's inconceivable to think about China giving up the one thing that they have over us. Well, they have a lot of things over us, but the one thing that they have certainly is this massive tool to basically influence popular opinion, spy on your data, et cetera, right?
It's also like, you know, people have a lot of conspiracy theories. Like, people come up with conspiracy theories of why the president did this and did this to distract you, right? He announced this, or he went to war to do this.
Oh, he's playing 4D chess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like a perfect example of, like, it's not a conspiracy. It's like our government was like, this is bad and we need to ban it. That's what they decided. And then they're kind of like, well, maybe let's just decide later. And it's literally like, it's not even a conspiracy. It's literally that they don't want to ban it because it will affect the election. Mm-hmm. Because they will be the ones who banned it. Right. So they're trying to figure out something to work out. And so it's like, okay, so you're going to put the national security of the US ahead of your own agenda. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like right in front of our face. Like, there's no hiding it. There's no masking that.
Yeah, and there's also like the idea that they just don't want all that money to go offshore. The amount of money that TikTok is raking in from ads and
yeah, but you can get that
deals and
that was taken from Facebook, Instagram.
Exactly, Twitter. That's what I'm saying. You know, Instagram's numbers and Facebook's numbers continue to start being captured by TikTok, right? And then probably will continue to do that until the next big thing comes around. And, you know, those are American companies. And, of course, we want the business and the ad revenue and all that to go to American companies instead of, hence why we want TikTok to be an American company, or at least the U.S. version of TikTok, right? It seems like that could be a reasonable thing, that there's just a TikTok version, a version of TikTok in every country, and they're all owned by. But China's never going to do that. Like, they're never going
to
do that.
Why would they? Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
Like, they would rather just get banned.
Yeah.
I mean, the government of China doesn't care about the amount of money that TikTok is making.
Yeah, probably not. That's not important to them. Yeah, exactly. This is like, yeah, this is pennies compared to what they really gain out of having TikTok, which is, you know, the ability to influence opinion and, you know, data.
Right,
which is worth way more than any ad revenue, in my opinion, at least. I don't know, but
yeah. So TikTok's not banned yet. The Ukraine war is still going on. The Israeli war is still going on.
The stock market
is down. It was funny. I was thinking today. I was like, man, how angry people would have been if Biden had, or when Biden crashed the stock market. Yeah. And I was like, oh wait.
He didn't. Are we having fun yet, folks?
Yeah, we're having fun.
Are we having fun?
Okay.
Are we having fun with this little Trump guy?
Yeah, are we having fun?
Sure is a wild ride.
He makes good comedy, but the comedy got old like 6 years ago.
The comedy got old even to Republicans as soon as the stock market went down. They were just like, well, he's not as funny as we thought he was. Yeah. And my portfolio is down. I think it was Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports had a viral moment this last week when the stocks first crashed, and he was like, I'm down $7 million in net worth. And then he was reported, he went on and to do a follow-up video that basically said, you know, I wish I was only down $7 million at this point. He's like, I'm down like $20, $25 million. basically 15%, 20% of my net worth is completely gone.
Yeah.
So
but he said he still supports Trump. So, I mean.
They're all playing the long game. Gotta, you know.
But he's probably back up now. See,
yeah,
see? He saved him.
It bounced, right?
All you have to do is just lose a trade war and you're good.
Yeah. So you went to.
I just ate one of those limes.
Pretty good.
It's really
pretty acidic.
I ate it with the rim stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hurts.
I do have to say, I do cut up a lot of limes, and these are the very seedy. They've got lots of seeds.
Oh, really?
Yes. Hmm. So many seeds. So your book report on the key limes was accurate. So you went to Europe. You went to Europe, and more specifically, you went to Prague.
Yeah.
Which sounds like it was a good time. And what's so interesting about Prague, and why should every person go?
Prague, yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, because I probably didn't know at one point, Prague is in a country called the Czech Republic. Most people call it something else. It's Czechia or something.
Yeah,
Czechia, like that.
Yeah,
in their language, but yeah, Czech Republic is the very easy way of saying it. That is in kind of more Eastern Europe. So very close to Germany, very close to Austria, Poland. And so they're kind of around that. So just south of Poland. So, there's another country called Slovakia, which people might know because they're probably used to hearing or saying like Czechoslovakia, because it used to be one country or one area. until they split for some reason. I don't know the whole history of it. I know they were also involved in the Soviet Union and until that collapsed. So they have a very long history, you know, thinking about like all the world wars and things like that. So now we are the Czech Republic, and it's not a huge country, but kind of right, I think it's more in the middle, maybe like more north a little bit, is a city called Prague. And Prague is very old. One of the kind of nice things about going there is you see a lot of really old architecture that is authentic. So if you go to a lot of other countries in Europe, cities in Europe, especially ones like in Germany or places where the Nazis destroyed, all those buildings, all those cities are mostly destroyed. If you take, for instance, Cologne, Germany, Cologne has this amazing cathedral there. It's probably the coolest cathedral in the world. It's super gothic. It's really dark looking. It's incredible. And that is like the only thing in Cologne that wasn't destroyed during World War II. And so it's incredible to go there to see how they've rebuilt a city. And a lot of places they do this in Europe, they'll rebuild it kind of in an old European style, like an old architecture, but it's not really old. It's kind of like new old. And so Czech is actually old. And it doesn't look super old. They do good, I guess like renovation. So everything looks nice. They keep it well painted. But they do have a lot of old things. So like they have some really old cathedrals downtown, a real old bridge called the Charles Bridge that goes from kind of the downtown over to the castle, where I guess the royalty or the president or whoever has lived in the past. And so I think that's where a lot of their government works kind of. Mm. And when they call it a castle, you might think of something that you've seen maybe in like Germany, where they actually have like real crazy castles. And it's not exactly like that. They do have a cool church in the middle of it, or a cathedral that's that kind of gothic architecture. But then it's kind of more surrounded by buildings that are more similar to like downtown, which is just a very, very old European style. And so it's just like from the beauty of being there. And especially I was there just as spring is starting. So like everything's still a little dead. It's still an amazing city. And just going downtown, you can pretty much walk anywhere. It's not a massive city. You take the trains all over. They're really easy and predictable and reliable. It's super cheap. Like, you want to ride the train, you want to take a 30-minute ride, it's like 70 cents.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can go across the entire city for less than a dollar.
Oh, my God.
Which is insane, yeah. Like, I took a taxi from the airport 45 minutes to my hotel, and it was $25, which is just absolutely insane. When like here, I took a taxi from our airport to my house, which is like 50 minutes, and it was $110.
Yeah.
So it's like just the difference in cost there is incredible. Like food is probably like 50 to 70% of the cost of what it might be in the US. So it's also very cheap. Beer is crazy because it's like there's a saying there that beer is cheaper than water. Mm. And in a lot of cases is actually true. So you can get a half liter beer for a couple bucks.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's really good beer. It's Pilsner, which, was invented in Pilsen, the town near Prague. And it's just good. Like it's super, super good. If you go to a bar in a lot of other countries, you go and you order a beer, hit or miss. Like it might be really good, but it also may kind of taste like shit, or it's flat or whatever, right? Every bar I went to, just amazing beer. And they keep like there'll be signs that's like, today the beer is 5 degrees. And apparently that makes a difference to people who live there.
5 degrees? What do you mean by that?
Like the tank.
The temperature
of it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like people care about those kind of things. It's incredible. So the beer culture is really important to people. And in fact, like a lot of, so they grow hops, in Czech Republic that is used in a lot of beer in Europe. And it's like a less, acidic beer or a less acidic,
bitter
or bitter, less bitter hop. So they can leave it in the beer longer, or, you know, the mixture longer, and then it creates more flavor. And so that's where, when you're using other types of hops, you might get a little bit less flavor from it because of that, or maybe it's going to be a more bitter taste. So super cool, just from all aspects. Like, the thing, I think it's a lot of the reason people don't visit Europe is because it's so expensive, and it really is. It's like if you were to go from Europe to the US, like, we're expensive. If you were to go to New York City or something, you're paying $200, $300 a night for a hotel. Flights are expensive. Food is really expensive, especially in the tourist cities. So to go somewhere where I bet the flight is probably the same as most other major European cities, you get there, you're not paying a lot for your lodging, and you're seeing a beautiful city, drinking beer. Cocktails are cheap too if you don't like beer. With water, sorry guys, it's expensive, but
it's got that good alkaline water.
But yeah, it just, and it's pretty. I mean, you know, it's like a pretty clean city. There's lots of really cool restaurants, like super good restaurants you can go to. Not a lot of, and I don't know why, but not a lot of homeless people in the city, which I've noticed that a lot of other European cities have a lot of homeless people.
Really?
It could be that they let less immigrants in. I'm not mm-hmm. really sure what the reason is, but yeah, it wasn't too bad. So you feel pretty safe. The people are, Czech people are very kind of blunt.
Yes.
Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
So it's not that they're mean. It's just how they are.
How they are, yeah.
Yeah. But in general, they were nice. Like, they're not mean to you.
Yeah.
So
there are a lot of tourists there.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like to the point, I mean, you can go off on any kind of side street, but it was a lot busier than I thought it would be in the main tourist areas. And I found out that Prague is actually the fourth or fifth most visited city in Europe.
Wow.
Which is crazy because a lot of people probably have never even heard of Prague.
Yeah, right. It's like one of those cities where it's like it seems super European. Yeah. Like when I think of like UK and France and Spain, I don't really think of Europe like proper. I start to think more of like Europe is like getting into like Germany and Poland and Czech and, you know, Hungary and Austria and all those other like Eastern European countries.
Yeah.
It just feels less westernized there. Mm-hmm. Right. More European, capital E. And I think of like the UK is like little E, which is like, it's still like they speak English, you know, like what do they speak? What's the main language?
And yeah, that's
in Prague.
Czech. Yeah. So let me look that up, what the language is actually called. But everyone spoke English.
Really?
Like, literally every single person that I met spoke English. Some of them very, very well, others wow. not as well. But I didn't have, like, I just went to Argentina and Chile, and like half the people spoke English at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then of the half that did, it was not that good.
Super broken.
Yeah. I was expecting to go to Prague and not be able to communicate with anyone. It was like, it was just insane. That's another reason I think that it's so easy to travel there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in, you know, with the trains and everything like that, is that people speak enough English where you can just easily communicate. And that adds a certain comfort, especially for people who are not used to traveling as much. It's very uncomfortable going somewhere and feeling like you can't communicate with anyone.
Yeah.
Like, you don't like the feeling of going out to dinner and not getting an English menu. Yeah. Having to ask the waiter and not be able to really communicate with them, not understand what you're going to get. You want to be able to go to a restaurant and pick exactly what you want from the menu.
Yeah.
And be able to try like a local dish or whatever and talk with the server, or, you know, or go into a cafe where you're getting a coffee and have a conversation with them or something. And that, like, that's what you can do there.
Yeah. That's awesome. And to hear that it's, yeah, the fourth, fifth, sixth most visited country in Europe is a bit shocking, honestly, because you have these massive cities like Munich and London and Barcelona, and I mean, you can name off so many, Dublin, right? So many well-known sort of in Western culture, at the very least, right? I mean, this is coming from a United States perspective. which is probably completely different than somebody, you know, in Eastern Europe who may go to Prague every summer for some reason because they like it here, or, you know, they want to see something or do this or that, you know. So, yeah, did you find out what the language is?
Yeah, it's called Czech.
It's just called Czech.
Yeah, so
Czech language.
It's also historically known as Bohemian. But it's, yeah, it's a West Slavic language. And if you've ever heard a Slavic language, it sounds like very, what you might hear it as is like Russian.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of deeper, I can't imitate it myself, but I know you all have heard what a Russian sounds like. It sounds very much like that.
Well, you're starting to get over into Eastern Europe. It's not quite Eastern Europe, but it kind of is, right?
Yeah,
and so a lot of those countries that border Russia have that major Russian influence, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like when you told me you were going to Prague, of course I was like, yeah, I've heard of Prague. I don't know where it's at. I couldn't tell you what country it belonged to. And that's just my ignorance. But when I looked it up, I was like, oh shit, you know, kind of close to Ukraine.
Yeah.
Kind of like a couple countries away from Ukraine, you know, which is a major war going on right now. So I was like, okay. But yeah, a lot of those Eastern European countries, they have that Russian influence. And to hear that, you know, at one point, the Czechoslovakia was like a part of the Soviet Union, probably further deepens their, you know, roots to Russia.
Yeah, and there are a lot of Russian people there. And there's a lot of Ukrainians now. I think they've taken a lot of the Ukrainians who have, you know, left because of the war. But yeah, it's definitely, it's funny to hear you say that it's close to Ukraine, because I kind of thought that too. But then I realized that it's like Prague is like a stone throw away from Germany.
Yeah,
which and then Poland's like literally borders Ukraine, and
yeah.
One of my coworkers from the U.S. actually went to Warsaw, which is really close to Ukraine, but also Ukraine is a massive country.
Yeah, it's so big.
Yeah.
People don't realize how incredibly big that is.
But they're in a war, so like it doesn't really matter where you are if you're in the country where there's a war. It's like that's a huge risk. So it's definitely weird, but it made me think like how Europeans must feel being so close.
Yeah. Especially if you're in Poland. I mean, there were, I think it was a couple months ago, but there was a report of a ballistic missile that accidentally hit somewhere in Poland. And it was just like, oops. But that's just the risk of, you know, accidental spillover into other countries. Right.
Yeah. That's creepy,
you know, and of course, like there's always a risk of expansion into like a larger, more global war. You know, people talk about the risk of World War III, and you know, I think it was even Zelensky the other day said that they had captured two Chinese nationalist soldiers, which is even more scarier
because yeah.
Now it's like China has entered the chat,
right?
You know, right? And you're like, oh shit. That there's two superpowers that basically have combined to like fight this Ukrainian war, which doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but I'm also not super educated in all this. So, but it's interesting to hear. You said something earlier that I want to come back to, which is that it's sort of untouched from World War II, and I'm wondering why that was. Were they like an ally of the Nazis during that time? Like, what's going on with
that? So, I haven't studied the history. What I heard was from people there, so people who like are Czech and grew up there. So, from two different people, this is what I heard. One of them told me that whatever they were known as at the time, the government gave the Nazis basically all of their gold, like their whole everything, like
yeah.
that was worth something, and that basically spared them. So I think it was probably more of like a sit back and let the Nazis do their thing, please just don't destroy our city.
Yeah, right.
Another person told me that they were actually bombed three times, and it was by the Allies. When they said that, it made me think that Czech was an ally to, you know, the U.S. and France and whoever, the UK, I don't know, whoever was the Allies. And it was because I think the Nazis were in Czech and they bombed those locations, the Allies did, and some, like, you know, some people died from it.
Yeah, right.
But it wasn't a huge thing. So.
Casualty of war.
Yeah. But yeah, that's weird. I mean, you know, if the story is really true, if that's how they somehow negotiated it, right? Because yeah. like a lot of other countries somehow got destroyed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a little weird. Like, I wonder what people think about it. Because on one hand, you're kind of like, okay, well, you sat back and like you were okay if the Nazis basically took over the world.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't fight, right? Not that I'm not saying nobody fought. I don't know the whole history, but if this is the case, the government didn't fight, which is weird because you're basically like, okay, you can take us over, which is a little strange.
Well, at some point you have to, you know, you have to play the cards that you have, and it doesn't seem like Czech is a big country.
Yeah.
They probably didn't have a lot of defense. They're sort of landlocked. They're basically at the mercy of the surrounding countries, and Poland got absolutely fucked. So they're probably just like, oh no, like,
totally.
We don't want to take sides, but also, if you're coming into our country to destroy us, like, take what you want, just leave us alone.
Yeah, so that may have been it. I don't know exactly what the borders were then, because I know that country has changed the borders quite a bit. So yeah, it could have been that. They could have just saw that the countries near them were getting fucked. I mean, they literally border Germany.
Yeah.
Or what is today of Germany. So I would imagine it was pretty easy for the Nazis to come in and be like,
yeah,
you can either all die or give it to us.
It's fast. I do want to learn a lot more about World War II, because it's such a fascinating time in history, and I think there's a lot to be learned from studying that. It kind of reminds me of like the Genghis Khan era, where they basically came and to your village and were like, you can either surrender and we'll spare everybody, or you can resist and we'll kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and like a lot of villagers, you know, because back then you didn't know. Like, you're like, oh, these Mongol guys, they like just showed up. And
yeah.
Look, we don't know that they've actually got like, you know, a terrorizing amount of like warriors on horseback that will, you know, and you're just like, no, absolutely not. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this with you today. Okay.
Yeah, totally. And that's like, that's a very good strategy, for winning.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just okay with killing anyone. So, the rules of war is that you can only kill combatants.
Right.
Right.
People who are willing to fight against you.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're like, if you come here, we're not just going to kill the ones who fight against us. We'll kill everybody.
Yeah.
It really changes the game. And I think like that's what the Nazis did. That's what you're saying Genghis Khan did. And that's what Russia's doing, for instance.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's really hard to, like, it's hard to fight against that. And it makes you wonder, like, it really makes you start to think about what the right path is.
Yeah.
Because, for instance, in Ukraine could have just surrendered and said, okay, you can have the land that you want.
Yeah.
You can control it. Like, the problems you claim to be having there, you deal with them. And probably some people still would have died. Some people would have fought for it. But in general, significantly less people would have died, both on the Russian side and the Ukrainian side. It would have been much more peaceful for now.
Yeah.
Until Russia decides that because we did that, we can just keep doing that.
Yeah.
And continue on. Like in Syria, like, I met a guy on a train in Germany years ago who was Syrian. He came from Syria as like a war refugee. And I was talking to him. He was a dentist in Syria, but basically like a server in Germany because his dental degree didn't transfer. And I was talking to him and asking him about Syria, because I didn't know a lot about Syria. I still don't know that much about Syria, but From what I understand, it's like a proxy war between Russia and the U.S. So they use Syria and the Syrian people, like the rebels and the government, to fight against each other for control over Syria, basically. And he said that he just wishes that the U.S. had never come to help.
Yeah.
Because...
come to quote-unquote help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He thinks that... they would have been way better off just
succumbing to the Russian government. Yeah.
and doing what their dictator told them to do.
Yeah.
Because their friends and family wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
And it's like really interesting because, if you were to say that to people about Ukraine, like maybe it would have been better if Ukraine had just not done that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would be like, no, you can't say that. You can't say that. And I'm not saying it's the right answer, but it's an interesting thought exercise. Like what it really is the best choice.
Yeah.
Because innocent people are dying and they could have been spared. Would we be better off under Russian rule? Like the whole world, would we be more, you know, more at peace, or is it better to fight and for our freedom?
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. It's there's these like, oh man, I'm reading this book called Manufacturing Consent by Noam Chomsky, and it basically just covers, you know, the Indochina Wars and the El Salvadorian conflict and Nicaraguan conflict, and how the mass media acted like a propaganda arm to the public of the United States to basically push an agenda to allow the United States to intervene in these countries when we basically had no business entering into wars like Vietnam, right? Yeah. And it was like, it's so funny because I remember learning about Vietnam and I don't quite remember understanding like why we lost and like how we lost and like why we went into that war in the first place. And it's fascinating to hear about like the public's perception and understanding of that war from like start to finish. Like obviously there was a lot of like revolt against that, you know, in the counterculture of the 60s and the 70s eventually. But they, you know, basically said we have to do this or else like communism's going to control, you know, Vietnam, and then China's going to like expand and yada yada.
Because we during that time I think had a very anti-communist agenda, right?
Yeah,
we were kind of like trying to get rid of all of the different communist governments, and just like we have with dictatorships like in the Middle East and stuff,
essentially under the idea that democracy is like, you know, the guiding light and to like how you should run your government. And and there's so much more to it. I won't get into it because it's such a complicated, and I'm having such a hard time getting through this book because it's so dry and like heavy data driven and a lot of like, you know, examples that they rattle off on, you know, and even like, it's so interesting to see how even like the New York Times, Time Magazine, all of these, like the Washington Post, right? They all served the current administration during that time to basically push an agenda, and essentially not outright lie to the American people, but to omit and to rephrase certain things and to leave out important information to support a narrative that, you know, the White House or the current administration wanted to push.
Why is that? I mean, those journals and whatnot were independent, right?
It all has to do with money and sponsors and advertisers, and where are you getting that? How many ads can you sell based on what narrative you're telling? And if it doesn't align with the money, you won't get money. And so to avoid losing ad revenue, you basically just tell the story that's convenient. You tell the story that will sell papers or align you with basically the oligarchy or the industrial complex, which, mm-hmm. you know, basically funds wars funds the administrations, right? It's unfortunate. It's why independent media is so important, because there's so few voices that are actually reporting and telling what's happening in reality, and they just don't have the viewership.
Yeah, I mean, how do you have true independent media? Is it just people who are willing to work for like nothing to tell the news?
Yeah, it's like sort of like the bleeding heart, like you won't make a killing, you know. And you just won't. It's like a nonprofit sort of idea.
Because all those companies, like the news channels and the journals and stuff, those are all owned by people or shareholders.
Well, they're all owned by like four companies now.
Yeah, sure. Like back then and now, they're owned by shareholders, and those people want to make money. They don't want to tell the news.
Yeah, and I guess more importantly is like they're owned by the shareholders, but not really, you know? Like the shareholders don't care about what agenda is being told.
Right, they just want the money.
They just want year-over-year profits,
right?
Which means you have to sell ads, which means you have to align with the agenda of the people showing your ads. And it all comes down to that. It all comes down to money. So it all comes down to money.
It's interesting.
And political pressure.
Yeah, right. It's interesting how then, like for the Vietnam War, you had traditional media, and now you have social media. So like if you had someone who owned a newspaper or something, they can really twist the narrative how they want. And now you have like Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, whoever else owns the other big social networks. Those aren't news. Like those aren't the social medias. They're not companies. They're not news organizations, but they're telling the news.
Yeah, I guess it just depends. I mean, it's so easy to tie everything back to money, though. Like, until we have a platform that is, like, sort of, like, I don't even know how you would do it. It just doesn't exist because you need funding of some sort. And at the root of that is somebody giving that money.
Yeah, so what one might say is, well, why don't we, like, fund one? as a society, right? And then you have like publicly funded government run news stations like they have in communist countries.
Yeah, but you have to understand in those communist countries, they will just kill you if you don't align.
Yeah, right.
Like there's so many examples in this book of people in El Salvador, these nonprofit organizations that basically report back to global entities on corruption and war crimes, and the people running these organizations, they just get assassinated because they were courageous and told the truth. And that happens in communist governments.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But also, if you run the government and the government runs the news,
yeah,
then you run the news still. So yeah, there's really it really just takes people who decide that's going to be their life's passion.
But you'll die. They'll kill you.
Oh yeah, no, I mean in the U.S.
In the U.S., like, but they'll kill you in the U.S. too. just depends on what you're reporting on, right?
Yeah.
It's something that has like dire. You know, if like you're the guy that has the Epstein files and like, you know.
Oh, yeah. If it's something like that big.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
For sure. Well, remember when Saudi Arabia killed that journalist?
Yeah.
And then
nobody cared.
We were like, wow, that's really bad.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Next up,
I'm pretty
today's
sure
news.
A war started after that. Or, yeah, there was. But yeah, it's like we know that like that's a thing. You know, like that's another thing where I was talking about where it's like, oh, yeah, it's a conspiracy that people get assassinated for knowing too much or something, right? And that is an example right in our face where it actually happened and nobody did anything about it.
Yeah. A journalist was courageous to basically stand up to one of the most powerful people in the world and on camera basically have evidence of this guy going in and not coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we
did nothing. We did nothing about it.
We did nothing.
We basically
about
were
it.
Like, ah, well, you know, that's the cost of journalism.
Yeah.
In
we did
Saudi
nothing
Arabia.
About it because Saudi Arabia is an important partner and we didn't want to crash the stock market. But, you know, we could just raise tariffs because make America great again and crash the stock market because that's equally important.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame because we know a lot. What's cool, though, is we know a lot about that incident, largely due to like independent podcasts that were talking about it. Like, you didn't really have these like major news organizations investigating and pursuing justice for this gentleman. I can't remember his name,
right?
But yeah, so
but there's not that many of those people. There's not that many people who are willing to die for everyone else.
Yeah, like, cuz they have families, they don't, yeah. You know, and then like that's, yeah, like these nonprofit watchdog organizations in these countries, they killed them and they killed their 2-year-old and they killed their husband, you know.
So like, who decides, like, who's, so in that case, it was the ruler of Saudi Arabia, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
In the Epstein case, you know, who is the one, because there's a lot of people implicated in that situation. Who's the one who kills Epstein? Like, who decides that he needs to die? Not the one who kills him necessarily, but who's like the one that puts the head out?
Bill know? Clinton. How many people have to die, Bill? How many people have to die?
Classic Clinton. Yeah, I mean, but,
I'm joking.
But think about it, right? I mean, it's like, it could be from a lot of people. Do they all come together and decide? Is it like just one person? Like, was it Trump who was like, we need to get rid of him because I need to be president? You know, who was it?
Yeah, it's probably like there's this big conspiracy. It could just be one person. It doesn't have to be like a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You know, somebody powerful.
Is it? Because a lot of people think there's always this grand conspiracy about, like, everyone in the government, you know, knows about it. Like the CIA did it, and, like, everyone, the CIA and NSA and whoever, kept everything quiet, and all because they wanted to save, like, Trump and Bill Clinton and Prince whoever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, when there's threat of, hey, like, if you say anything, we'll just kill you and kill your family, or like just kill you. Like, there's a culture of fear and organizations like that.
How do they have, you know, like who just has hitmen, you know, on speed dial like that? Like, how do you tell someone I'll kill your family? Who has those kind of resources?
Have you seen the House of Cards TV series? Yeah. All right, do I have to say more? Very real.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
it's weird. Like, I know it happens, but I feel like,
yeah, it for sure happens. And you don't know until like a decades later, right? Like, a lot of this, what I'm reading in this book is just it's all post-mortem stuff, right? Like, it's so hard to tell in real time of what's happening, how it's happening, what agenda's being. I mean, we can kind of guess, right, just based on the flavor of and temperature of the narrative that's being pushed, but it takes a lot of like research and sort of follow up and actually examining the facts afterwards to go, oh, well, like, yeah, this is very obvious now. Like, here's what actually happened. Here's how it was reported. These two things aren't matching up. Why was that? Oh, we can follow a paper trail back to all the way these different entities and different, administrations, and it's not like it's one, and the fact is it's not one big conspiracy. Like, there's like a council pulling the lever to push an agenda, and the people who are the journalists at Time Magazine or the New York Times or Washington Post or Fox News for that matter, all these individual contributors, they're not in on it,
Right.
They don't like attend these like meetings and but it's like it's something in the air that tell you know that there's like pressure.
Naturally, right?
Exactly, right. They don't realize they're doing it. Mm-hmm. But and also there's like a perfect example is like self-censorship, right? Everybody does it, right? For fear of retaliation, whether it comes to like getting fired, ostracization of your you know, family members and friends. To basically say what you want to say and have an opinion, yada, yada. I mean, that happens naturally in the corporate world. You know, there's this narrative out there, and if you go against it, your job's on the line. And so that becomes so natural, I think, that people start to forget, sort of why they got into that position, and they start becoming a part of the industrial complex of media.
And if you think about it, you like one person is so small scale, right? Like you don't like you have barely a part of you're like a extremely small piece of the puzzle, and so you're not thinking about like, oh, how can I tell the real story of the Vietnam War, mm-hmm. or something. You're thinking like, hey, how am I gonna, like, you know, what am I going to do this weekend? I'm going to go hang out with my family. I'm going to come to work. I'm going to tell the, like, whatever part of the news that I do, or whatever job I do. And that's what you think about. You think about keeping your job. You know, you're not thinking about like the big picture of things. And so, yeah, I could totally see how that happens naturally, where no one's literally thinking like, am I the part of the problem?
Yeah. And there's nobody. There's not necessarily, and maybe in some instances, but maybe not entirely, but there's nobody coming to you be like, hey, you can't say that. You can't write that. You have to write it this way, or you have to do this way. It, like I said, it all happens naturally because we, as individuals, we just want to go to work. We just want to go home. We just want to watch a little TV, kiss our family goodnight, wake up, do the same thing, go on vacations, have nice cars, live in house, pay your mortgage. That's what we want.
Yeah.
We don't want this like weird disruption and fear and threat of your livelihood.
Well,
and I think you start to fall into that zone when you get a little squirrely.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, telling the truth as it is, or telling a version of the story that's inconvenient. Right. And that's the, I think I want to underline that a little bit, because a lot of what happened was like inconvenient. You know, nobody wanted to report that, like, hey, the United States shouldn't be in this war. Like,
it's the same thing today with global inequality. Someone told me today, I don't like global inequality. And I said, I like it.
Yeah,
because I like having a computer and having a car and having a house, like having nice things.
Yeah, you like that iPhone?
Yeah, and I'm silent on it. If I really, really cared, then I would be doing more, right?
Peace Corps,
I would be telling people. Yeah. I would be pushing the agenda. Like, if we really cared as people, we would stop letting like children build our iPhones,
yeah.
or people live in poverty and commit suicide and things to build our computers or our cars, who, you know, people who work in factories 80 hours a week, 100 hours a week. But I'm silent on it, and I'm part of the problem, just like those people were part of the problem for the war or whatever other historical event there was in history.
There's something that I heard on there's this TV show called Invincible that I'm watching on Prime. It's a animated like comic book show. It's really good, but it's like The Boys, you know, The Boys on Prime.
Yes.
It's like that, but like superhero comic book style animation. And the quote is, you can either be the good guy or the guy that saves the world. And there's different versions of that saying, right? But I think you can apply that to a lot of things in your life. There's like doing the right thing or doing the thing that gets the job done. And also, like, there's the saying, oh, you got to crack a few eggs and make an omelet, right? There's all these like things we tell ourselves to basically justify something that doesn't feel quite right. I think that's what we're sort of describing here, right. In a way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it applies to a lot of things, like in your life. Like, you're not gonna fix climate change on your own.
Yes, I will.
And you can't criticize other people for not doing it either. Like, do you recycle every single thing?
Silence is
violence.
Do
you not use single-use products ever? You know, we're all hypocrites, and we're all part of the problem. We're all part of so many problems.
I flush once a week.
Your anal cavity?
Toilet.
Okay.
I let her fill up until about 3/4 of the way, then I flush.
Once a week?
Saves water, saves the planet.
Wait, let the toilet fill up with waste?
Yes.
3/4 of the way?
Yes.
But I'm curious, do you ever sit on your toilet?
Yes.
Now, men have an appendage that mm-hmm. drops into the toilet bowl.
Yep.
If your toilet bowl is 3/4 of the way full, you're full on touching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's laying there.
It's full on touch. Full on touch. Listen, either you can be the good guy or you can be the guy that saves the world. Okay? I'm a little bit of both.
Here's the thing, though. You're saving the water, but then you have to go clean your peen off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that costs water and soap.
One would think I clean my peen off. One would think.
Yeah, okay.
That's
a good argument.
You ever see those, like, cheap skate or, the cheapo documentaries? I think I can't remember what channel reality TV show this was on, but it was like following the lives of people who were really, really, really cheap.
No.
And it's crazy. It's wild. It's like super cringy, but a lot of them use like towels as for toilet paper. You know?
Yeah.
And then they just wash the towels.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's like using a cloth for your diapers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There on that show, it was crazy. This guy, instead of like going to the grocery store and buying like ketchup for like a dollar, like the bottle of ketchup. Back then when I watched it, it was a dollar. Calm down. Anyway, he would go to like different fast food chains and grab the little ketchup packets and then like squeeze them into a bottle.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just to save like a dollar.
That's crazy.
The amount of time this guy spent going.
Well, it kind of pisses me off because if you go to a lot of stores, they don't put those packets like out front anymore. You got to ask for them because of people like that, you know?
He ruined it for everybody,
yeah.
Honestly. Now like, you got to buy something.
Yeah. Now, well, you always had to buy something.
To eat your little ketchup treat.
Yeah. it's like he buys ice cream.
Yeah. Just squeezes the entire packet of ketchup in your mouth.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Yeah, you know, people are weird. People save weird money on things.
Yeah, you gotta, like, and I don't think this guy really truly understood that the amount of time and probably fuel, I'm assuming he was driving to these places, the amount of time and fuel that you used to save a dollar.
Back when ketchup was a dollar, fuel was only like
20
cents.
Fuel was 97 cents.
Well, yeah, that's what I think. A lot of people don't realize when we talk about efficiencies, like you don't realize that your body is also a machine, you know, and your body needs
calories,
things to convert that energy to usable energy for you. And then you have waste that you create, whether that's through your poo that you fill up in your toilet, or your sweat, or
one flush.
Whatever, right?
Hashtag one flush.
Yeah, and like to eat that food that you needed, like cows had to be grown up,
yeah,
which requires water and grass and fertilizer and things like that. So it's like you have to think about what's really like. Maybe wasting a couple gallons of water was worth you not having to do a certain thing because it required you to have to eat less or something, or not, like you said, not drive to the store. Like, did you spend more in gas going to the other gas station because you wanted to save 2 cents per gallon?
Yeah, probably. You know?
Yeah.
That's why I use DeepSeek now, not ChatGPT. Half the energy cost, way more efficient, less water, you know, less servers. It's just got one server. It's just a Raspberry Pi in China, just running this super efficient code.
Yeah.
You know?
Raspberry.
Raspberry.
I like BlackBerry more. It's OG.
OG BlackBerry.
Yeah. You know, the raspberries, you know, they're kind of cheap. Made in China, I think. BlackBerry, made in the U.S.
Is BlackBerry made in the U.S., actually?
You know, there was a documentary about BlackBerry.
Did you watch it?
I did, yeah. It was pretty good. You should watch it.
Yeah.
But I think their downfall, from what the documentary pointed out, I don't know if this is really what it was, is that they started making, well, the downfall was probably they didn't adapt to the
They didn't, like, innovate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the downfall was also, according to the documentary, because they started making their phones more cheap.
Gotcha.
Yeah. In China, I think.
Oh.
So that goes to show you China's bad.
We should tariff them.
Yeah.
104% tariff.
What does that mean? Is that, like, because there's already some kind of tariff on different types of goods.
Yeah.
So is it like, let's say the tariff was 17%. Is it like now it's 104, whatever you said? Or is it 121?
So basically whatever the good cost, just times that by 104%. That's the tax owed.
Right. right.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that sound really crazy?
That sounds crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really understand it because I was like, I think I'm missing something. Like, it can't be really, like, okay, I sell a product from China to the US. It costs $10 2 weeks ago. And I paid some kind of tariff on it. I don't know what it was. Let's say it was probably less than 25, because isn't that what he started at? Let's say if it was 15%. So I paid 15% of the $10 as a tariff. And now I pay $10.
I guess.
Doesn't make sense.
Also, 104%. Really weird.
Yeah,
number.
What's the number? Yeah.
Yeah, what's that about?
You know what? That must be
He's
a
He's like,
double
it's
thing.
My birthday.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't really quite equate.
October 4th.
Oh, obviously. Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, actually, we should probably look up what his birthday is.
Yeah, what is Donald Trump's birthday? And what does China give him for his birthday? You know?
But seriously, I mean, like, it doesn't make... So if you're selling something for $10, you're paying $10 in tax.
Yeah.
I just don't get that.
Yeah, he wants... The idea that people say is, like, he wants that it to be... It wants to level the playing field and also, like, drive manufacturing back to the United States, which is, like, funny because we just literally can't do that. We don't have the resources to do that.
You know what I just found out?
What?
So Donald Trump is the 45th and 47th president, right?
Yeah.
But he is not the 46th president, but he was born in 1946.
Oh, shit.
That's why he was so pissed. This
he
all
was like, it
would have
been perfect. I would have been, it would have been 46 all day. All day.
Do you think we'll make it a holiday?
Some people think he was the 46th president.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All those QAnoners.
Right. And like he already said he could change the Constitution so that he could run as a third.
We're
time.
Working on it. It's a thing. We're looking into it. People want that.
So would it be a fourth term?
Bad. Yeah, imagine Bad. 8 years later. Or what? This would be like 11 years later. Oh, my God. He'd be in his 90s, right? Yeah. How old is this guy?
I think
guy?
People would still vote
How old
for
is
him.
Donald Trump? 80, right?
He's 78.
78. Okay, yeah. So like 11 years, he'd be like 90-something. 92. I don't know. Can't do math right now. I've had too many whiskey margaritas.
By that time, one of his kids is, and then, you know, like
Baron.
Yeah. And then we turn into North Korea where they just, it's just like the sun.
Yeah. Yeah. The dynasty of the Trump family. Oh my God. Fucking kill us now. Who wants that?
Yeah, the problem is he has so many kids, so now it's like inevitable.
Yeah, at least one of them's gonna be like, I think I can do that.
Yeah, I think I really hope what happens is he messes up so badly that we're like, please no,
please,
we need to stay away from that family.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
The thing is, like, you know, when your dad's the president, you just bank a ton of money. Like, you're just making hand over fist, so why would you want that, you know?
Well, why would he want it to begin with?
Because
I guess he is many billions of dollars richer now than he was before, right?
Yeah, he for sure has made a lot of money. Just basically it's like a brand move at that point, you know? Yeah. Like, everybody knows who I am, so I can make these great deals.
It's crazy that he spent his entire life trying to build his wealth to become a billionaire. Like, he spent almost all his life that he's lived so far. And he did so many things. He created this brand, worked, I'm sure, really hard to do all those things. And then all he had to do was become president and create a social network that loses like millions of dollars. Yeah. And suddenly his net worth, like, he's made many, many, many billions of dollars. Yeah. You know, isn't that crazy? Just from that one stupid little, like, he built all these businesses. Some failed, some succeeded, whatever.
Truth Social, better than maybe X. I don't know.
And he made like 10 times as much money, like, in 1 year from creating a very unsuccessful social media business.
How many users are on the Truth Social? I bet you they it's hard to understand. And how many of those are bots?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because I would, like, if I owned it, I would be lying about it.
Oh, I would be so lying, and I wouldn't kick the bots out.
Yeah.
Why would you? It looks good on paper.
2 million active users.
Oh my God, that's not.
It's like nothing.
It's like nothing. When he's like screaming into the void on True Social, it's really just like people reposting a screenshot of that on X.
It's
you know,
it's bots pulling the data from their website. Like, that's what they're, you know. Yeah.
He's like, I have a newsletter. It's basically a platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's kind of sad
to think, like, 2 million users. There are so many companies that have 2 million, like, many more than 2 million active users that are, like, that part of their business is worth, like, millions of dollars, like a few million dollars or something. It's crazy that you can be worth billions of dollars with that amount.
All you need is somebody, arguably the most famous person in the world, to be associated with your product.
Yeah, right? That's the problem. So if you have 2 million active users, those 2 million active, like, and you go tell them to jump off a bridge, the 2 million active users will not do that. Maybe some of them will.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump told 2 million users, active users, to do it, like, they'll go do it. And that's what the difference is, because that is worth, like, of the 2 million, when you're advertising towards them, you might get a very small percentage of them to buy your product or whatever, right?
Yeah.
He will get, like, a massive percentage of his active users to buy a product.
I have a hard time. I see what you're saying, but I have a hard time believing that, like, the Tesla stunt of, like, advertising Tesla in front of the White House and, like, getting in the car and being like, it's great, it's computers, you know, like, and like, everybody should buy one, I'm buying one. Like, I have a hard time believing that, like, the hardcore MAGA people were like, yeah, I'm gonna buy a Tesla now.
Well, the difference is, you need to have the money or like credit to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I think probably a lot of those people don't have the money to do that.
But even if they did, I just don't think, like, it's, I don't know, there's such a hardcore ideology tied to, like, the EV thing is not a Republican conservative thing.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think it is. When I bought my car, I had a lot of conservative people flick me off on the road, just like, and now suddenly it's like, oh, it's the other way around now. I don't know. I don't think it can just happen like that overnight.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think he still doesn't like the EVs, but when your savior comes, you know, you have to support him.
Yeah, when the guy that got you elected into office basically
he's basically saying
that my company is not doing so hot anymore.
He's basically saying, hey guys, please go buy this useless car.
Yeah.
It's a piece of junk. You'd be better off buying a gasmobile, but please go buy it. Please go spend all of your money on it.
Yeah. Please go into debt for me. I mean, for Elon.
It's really funny. I sometimes wonder, like, who politicians think they're talking to, because most of, like, literally most of Americans cannot afford that car.
Yeah.
So he's talking to a very small group of people.
Well, you can get a used Model 3 for, like, a handsome $15K if you, you know, if you're willing to buy a 2019, you know?
No, you can't, can you?
Probably, 15? Yeah. Yeah.
With 150,000 miles on it?
I mean,
something?
I don't know how many miles, but yeah, you can. I mean, they're like, they went down in price because nobody wants to buy them anymore.
Yeah, that's true. It is a good opportunity.
Which, like, it's like hilarious because he's like, what happened? What do you mean, what happened, dude? You went on stage in front of millions of people with a chainsaw saying you're going to cut the government down and take Social Security away and fuck the liberals. Which is basically your entire consumer base of your product. What did you think was going to happen?
What do you think it is? What do you think it is about him?
He's
very strange, right?
Super on the spectrum.
Yeah, but no, I get that. But
so he has no emotional, and he has very little emotional intelligence. So he'll walk up on stage and jump around like a crazy person, and like he doesn't really think that's weird. That's the problem.
Yeah, but he gets pretty direct feedback, right? I mean, like, he can see online that people don't like it. And it's very, very clear. I mean, the news talks about it. If he watches the news at all, the news says, yeah, like, what is he doing? He's being crazy. Liberals don't like him. Liberals buy his cars. So there must be, I mean, he's a smart enough guy to have, like, bought the right companies and built the right things to... I just don't believe that he doesn't understand that he is the reason that his company is doing badly.
No, I think he does know that. I think he does like the attention. And there are so many people that still do really like Elon. It's just kind of flipped over time, and you're seeing like the sort of conversion of like, oh, Elon's great, he's a genius, to like, oh, fuck this guy, to like, I don't really care about this guy, to like, oh, I love this guy. And so there's like a lot of like market volatility because of that. And I do think he cares about what people think about him. But I don't think he was clever enough to do what he did like a normal regular billionaire, which is like you sit in the shadows, you fund, you know, whoever you want to be president. And you don't go out publicly basically ostracizing an entire half of the country.
Yeah, but here's the thing is, like, people thought he was cool because he was out there. And he was talking about cool things.
In a way, and it worked, right?
And he was innovating. But as soon as he started ostracizing people, that's when people started hating him.
Well, the thing is, like, you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? Like, you can't go out publicly and rally for a president, get him elected, and then have like not half the country hate you. Like, and it's wild to me to be like, didn't you think that was going to happen? Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Because half the people hate the president.
And the majority of the people buying your Tesla cared about like sustainability and the environment and all these great, you know, save the climate. That's just not a priority of the other side of the aisle, which like you basically publicly, you know, you're tied to now. So it's, you know, to be weirded out about that is like, well, what did you expect? That's just the, that's just like the reality of the situation. And also, you probably couldn't get as far in pushing the election in one way without doing that. Right. So yeah, at the end of the day, was it worth it? Probably to him. Right.
Yeah,
but you're going to have to live with the consequences. And yeah, probably a lot of people want to see you fucking fail now.
Yeah, I see him like being more like Trump, where Trump was like, everyone's against me. And it's like, yeah, a lot of people are against you now, but they were against what you stood for. And then you were such an asshole that now they hate you as a person. Yeah. And he was kind of like that. Like when he bought X and was like, all the advertisers are boycotting me because they want me to fail. No, they're boycotting you because they think your platform is shit.
Yeah.
But now they think you are shit. So I think it's like he's just digging himself into a hole where he's like, it's just about me. No, it was about like the things you're doing. And now it's becoming about you.
I think a lot of people were convinced, including himself, that this was the last election to have a chance to actually win for the Republicans. And so to him, probably everything was at stake.
It's just weird that people think that, though. I just don't understand it. I mean,
there's a lot that they think that the way that they were like shipping in immigrants to basically flip.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy, right? States. Like you can't just ship in immigrants to flip
states. That's what they were saying. Right. So they were like, if the Democrats are elected, they'll continue to do that, and there won't be free elections anymore because all the swing states are now blue. And the last since the 80s, the Electoral College basically is the only reason why Republicans get elected in the office. The popular vote almost always goes Democratic.
Right.
And so, you know, there's like this tricky game that you have to play. And when things are, you know, when there's this grand conspiracy, whether or not it was true or not, I don't know. You start to get a little panicky, and I think he was a little panicky, but, that's not to say that like there's lessons to be learned. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe he'll become a little bit more passive.
I think it's really weird because I think in the past he wasn't so political. And in fact, I think he supported a lot of Democrats. He even said that, like he didn't support Trump. He thought he was too old, things like that. So I think it's weird that he just went to the extreme of I need to save the country. Instead of going with like this very extreme administration or group of people, he could have gone to the Democratic Party and said, I want to help. Right. I want to influence whatever he wants to do. Like a lot of other billionaires did at some point in time.
Yeah.
But instead he took this other route. I don't know. I just find it weird still. I think there's a lot of weird things. Remember he lied about playing video games.
Yes.
And stuff,
which yes. That's when I started to lose like all my respect for him. I was like, you lied about that? Really? Like, that's so fucked up. That's so fucked up. Like I literally couldn't believe he did that. I was like, okay, this guy, I don't want anything to do with this guy anymore.
Right.
And also like oligarchies and all that. Like, I just don't like billionaires dictating elections and getting involved. And I'm super glad that Wisconsin just had their Supreme Court election, right? Something to do with that. And he was like heavily rallying for Republicans in that, and they lost.
Right.
So it only works so much until it doesn't.
Right. And I mean, you could even argue that he didn't influence the presidential election either. Certainly money did influence it, but when you go back and reflect, there's a lot of reasons you can think other than influence for why Trump won.
Oh, totally.
Didn't, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I think there's still like, I think swing, like people in America can still be influenced by like one thing. Mm-hmm. And they're not like, there's a lot of people who will only ever vote for the one party or whatever, but there's even more, I think, who will vote for either.
Yeah.
And like, I am one of those people. I will never vote for Trump, but I could see myself voting potentially for people in either party.
Yeah.
Just depending what their beliefs are.
Yeah. Yeah, voting for the person instead of the party.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you're not alone. I think a lot of people fall into that bucket.
Right. I also think it's hilarious that that Republicans, not all of them, obviously, but a lot of them so deeply love and care for a non-natural, U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
Billionaires.
Elon Musk became a citizen in 2002.
Yeah.
Which was 23 years ago.
Yep.
But he loves America, right?
Yeah.
It's just...
Land of the free.
I think it's funny that...
Made me all my money.
That people... I think, like, I see conservatives as more like, I care for my country, right? I am very patriotic. And I think that's very true. But you're like letting a foreigner run your country.
Yeah.
Like you let someone from another country come and buy us.
When I was in DC this past weekend, there's a lot of protests happening. And one of the things that I saw, it was funny. I got a little crack out of it. I cracked up the Lincoln Memorial, which is pretty cool. For those of you who have been or have not been, I recommend it.
It's on the penny, right? Isn't that what is on the penny?
The Lincoln?
Yeah, isn't it?
Lincoln's on the penny. He's on the $5 bill, too. But the memorial itself is like enshrined to him, right? So he's got this big statue. You've been there before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that not what's on the penny? Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm totally just misremembering. Okay.
I know he's on the penny. I didn't realize the actual like monument is on the penny. It could be. Yeah. I mean,
so on the side, back of the penny, I think might be
the, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Like the building, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a square with the big columns. Yeah. So on the steps to the big steps going up, it's cause it's tall. It's up on the platform. And, there's these two people holding a flag and it says Elon Musk is a terrible president.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, probably hoping that it would piss off Trump enough to like ostracize him or something. That was a big theory.
That's funny. They have some conflict now or something, right?
Like, I don't know. I just, all I hope for, I'm not here to pick sides. I'm here to make fun of people, whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, and also to remain optimistic that everything turns out okay. You know? We just got to hope that like things work themselves out. Democracy wins. The people get what they want. And at the end of the day, we can all go to our jobs, live happy lives, earn a livable wage, have a roof over your head, eat good food, and be happy for whatever that means for you, as long as you're not hurting people. Right?
Exactly. And please just stop making drastic changes. Like, just let's keep, like, fine, make changes, do whatever you need to do. But, like, please, I don't want to be anxious at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yep. I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't want to have to deal with it. World. You know? And on that note, we're going to let you go. You're done. Class is adjourned.
I'm not going to eat another lime slice.
He's going to eat a lime. He's doing it.
I'm not doing it. Should I do it?
Do it.
Okay.
Did you eat the tahini one?
Yeah, I did. It was fucking spicy.
Yeah, and he's rubbing the salt on it.
You'll see this? All right, here we go. You know what's the worst?
Mm.
It's the... Is it called the rind?
Yeah.
Yeah. That tastes horrible.
Really?
Yeah, it tastes horrible.
Yeah, I didn't wash them. I'm just kidding. I washed them.
It's fine.
Got them. Alrighty, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Watch us on YouTube. Listen to us on Spotify. You can also watch us on Spotify, too. Do it. Watch us. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe to us. Let other people know about our show, because that's how independent podcasters like us grow and reach other people. But until next time. Adios.
Go to bed.